Hello, welcome back to Floating Through Film. For episode 95, we are continuing our series that I picked for John Cassavetes. Last week we reviewed his first two films, his first film and then like his fourth film, but we skipped two in there, but basically like his first two like actual like fully in control pictures, basically. And this week we are continuing. We're going to his 70s work, which is like probably definitely his most prolific period. And like where he made the most films and like where he really like kind of like really like people, like most of the conversation around him are really about these films, I would say. Though there's like, of course, people talk about his other films, but these specifically are like the most talked about, I feel like. I see. And the two films we're talking about today are Husbands and Minnie and Mouskowitz. So before we get into those, let me introduce my co-host Danny.
Hello.
And Blake.
What's up?
And I guess we can go ahead and just get into Husbands. I mean, Husbands, I would say this is probably, it's maybe his most inaccessible film, maybe. Which, it's funny, because it, like, from the outside looking in, it kind of looks like it would be, like, one of his, like, more, like, you know, like, accessible, like, kind of, like, lighthearted, maybe, films. But then you get into it, it's, like, he's, like, stretching scenes out to, like, 20, 30 minutes. Like, he's, like, really stretching, like, kind of, it's very, like, slow cinema kind of, like, approach to it, where, like, maybe, like, you know, a lot of, like, something like Simon Long would, like, hold a shot where there's, like, not a lot of, like, I would say, like, talking or dialogue at all. Or, like, the camera wouldn't move that much for, like, a scene. And he might stretch it out for, like, 15, 20 minutes. But, like, Cassavetes will still do the same kind of thing where he'll stretch a scene out for that long. But he's, like, moving the camera. He's having people talk. But it still has the same effect, in my opinion. And I think, really, like, he gets the most abrasive here in Husbands. Kind of really just, like, fuck the system. I'm gonna do what I want in here. And I think that's kind of what makes Husbands unique for me, specifically. But... I'm honestly very curious what y'all's thoughts on it are. I'll start with you, Blake, because you haven't seen it before.
No, right? No, and I honestly loved Husbands. So.
Okay.
It's just like guys being dudes. It really is, honestly.
It is, yeah.
Like, it's a very depressing story, but it's incredible how funny it is also.
And I think that's a lot of it has to do with, like, how Cassavetes, he more or less, like, he isn't, like, sitting back and, like, sneering at him or, like, being like, oh, no, like, getting less high. He's very much taking you with him so that you kind of, like, no matter how, like, selfish or, like, how, like, despicable they get, like, you kind of understand still. Like, you still, like, kind of understand why, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah, they're in rough straits. Something major just happened in their lives. I mean, losing a friend at that age is something major, but... Like I said, it can get depressing, but it is just really funny. Like, that's the main thing that I took away from it. Like, just... I was wondering when we were going to get to Cassavetes actually being in his own movies.
Yeah.
And we finally did. And I'm very happy it happened, because he's amazing in this movie, specifically. So but, like, all three of them. They have amazing chemistry.
It's
like
an acting masterclass.
It really
for
is.
For all three of them, really, like...
Is he in a lot of the later ones, too?
He's in a few. He's not in all of them. He's going to be in...
He's barely in Minnie Mouskowitz for a few scenes.
Barely.
Barely. He's very prominent in Love Streams and Opening Night, which we're going to review both those movies. And we're also going to do Mikey and Nikki, which he didn't direct, but he acted in with Peter Falk. So glad you really loved it, though.
Yeah.
Danny, you've seen it before.
Yeah, so I'm kind of mixed on this movie. Like, there are parts I really love. So, like, I read this kind of like interview he did with AFI with Peter Falk in the 70s.
Yeah.
And there's like a couple things I wanted to mention, because like, if you know, if you've listened to this podcast, like, you'll understand why I'm pointing these out. Like, so the first thing they asked him, like apparently he didn't give as much direction in this movie.
Okay.
So because they asked him, do you like working as a director who didn't say anything? And he said, I hate it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But then he said, and he kept going a little bit, he said, I felt that I couldn't gain anything by using direction to make the scene better. Telling Peter to all of a sudden behave in a certain way, creating a situation as you usually do in a film. You create a situation. And then he said, the lack of action was what the picture was about, you see. So if I stimulated action by directing, it would be bad, wrong. I love that. Like, the lack of action. Because, like, that's kind of what you were saying about, like, stretching out these scenes, kind of. Because I think, like, what he's trying to go for is, like, and he even says this a little later, something similar, is like, he doesn't want it to be about, like, basic dramatic action.
Yeah.
He wants it to more be, like, these are what these people are.
Yeah.
You know, as much, like, honest as possible.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's, like, I guess the one thing that bothers me about it is, like, it has this whole, like, the whole dramatic tension is, like, how they beat their wives and cheat on them. I just hate that in movies.
Okay.
Like, it's, like, so annoying. Like, we'll get to some of it later, because obviously, especially with the Ben Gazzara scene, like...
Okay. I mean, yeah.
It works, but at the same time, it doesn't work for me.
Okay,
so.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But I'm consistent about this complaint, and like in a lot of movies do this.
Oh, okay.
Especially when directors are trying to tell their personal lives, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like that's the only thing they like can relate to is like cheating on their wives. It'd be like an athlete doing that.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
But if an athlete had a movie like this, you'd be like, we don't feel bad for you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like if the director is like, oh, they're so like poetic and stuff. And
okay, that's a funny complaint. You'll have to explain that more like when we get to it though, like, but
but other than that, like, it just has some of that vibe to it, which I don't like, but the form I really like, you know.
Okay.
I like the idea he's going for.
Yeah.
You know, like try to present because he says, let me read it, quote, if the men are not exciting, okay, no, I have to read the whole thing because it's so great.
Yeah.
Even though it's a little longer. Because he's talking about how he gets bored
yeah.
from, like, normal movies. So he says, I get bored seeing two people that are supposed to be in love, who kiss, screw, or whatever they do. I get bored by that because they're only supposed to do those things. I don't really believe that they're doing that, and I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less if people like people, you know, or identify with heroes. I love that. At certain times in your life, you get bored with yourself. If the men are not exciting, there's nothing for people to identify with, because we all want to be excited. I think the picture is about people just being what they are, and that's good enough. And if that's not good enough, then maybe as a movie it'll fail.
Honestly, damn.
That's but that's, like, great. Like, because he's not even wanting you to have, like, great experience with the movie.
Yeah.
You know? He's almost, like, asking you to get more out of a movie than just being entertained by it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, which is, yeah, definitely tying into what he... I mean, we started the first episode with, like, I hate entertainment. Like, he hated that kind of concept in, like, American movies. But actually, I have a quote also.
Okay.
It's a pretty good quote by Cassavetes, also about this movie. It's a bit long, too. But these three men are 40-year-old kids. They're happy. They do whatever they want to. It's our night out, the way we'd like to take our night out. We'd like to take people on our trip with us, to break all the conventions that bug us, without being moralist about anything. The hope, of course, is that people stay crazy. It's really no fun to work with sane people, people who have a set way of doing things. That's also the reason I'm looking forward to playing with Peter Falk and Ben Gazzara. We don't care what the problems will be. As long as we stay crazy, if we all become nice people who are very polite, we never get along together. Because basically we're bums. I mean, I'm basically a bum. I know a lot of my enemies would agree with that too. But I don't think that's such a bad thing. I think it's more fun. I think I probably would have the philosophy of a poor man. You know, like maybe I'd steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes.
Damn.
That's a great quote. Like, especially with like... kind of how like he isn't really like trying to like push anything like any like viewpoint, I guess, with this movie. He really is like trying to capture like what's happening, like trying to capture life, really.
Let me do you think he's trying to capture like the personalities of these three, of all three of them?
I think probably it's part of it. I mean, maybe. I mean,
I don't know about them, you know.
I guess like, I mean, like it maybe it's tough to say. You have to kind of explain it.
Like, do you think this is how they were in real life? Like, because in some of these interviews and stuff, it sounds like he's trying to be, like, more honest. You know, he's trying to find... because he says a lot of how he was, like, going for a movie that's basically about feeling over, like, plot kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's why, like, the scenes are just kind of just... they're one after the other, but they don't have really any true connection.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they are kind of real time, though.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah, honestly, I
do think it's one of the better portrayals of like grief, also.
Yeah.
Like I said that, like, what time is it there?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Sai and Cassavetes do have a lot in common.
Honestly,
grief
and how men don't want to deal with it, basically.
Yeah, literally.
And it's kind of very similar to like what he talked about in like Faces, basically. Like,
yeah.
Where it's like,
well, you're
we have something that we need to talk about, but we're just gonna ignore it. Like,
yeah.
And like these people, you could say like these, they're like very mechanical. Like as we talked about, Law and Faces, like. Are very much just trying to like hide it with like what this like basically kind of like outing they go on is like basically like them trying to like avoid their problems, basically.
I think your review for Faces was like their ability, the inability to communicate, basically.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole movie.
Pretty
and, like,
well,
that's
yeah,
what
I said that for
Husbands.
Too.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That was for Husbands, like
basically.
Remember,
it's for both. I said for both.
Yeah,
I probably did. But yeah, for me, I love this movie. Like, Especially, like, the first time I watched this, I didn't love it, mainly because I was just, like, so caught off guard. Because, like, okay, the movie starts off, like, you're like, okay, you know, it's going along, you know? And then, like, you get to the dinner scene, and, like, you're like, holy shit, this is, like... He's literally not playing. Like, he's literally, like, stretching this out as much as possible. And it, like...
Unless and he lets you feel a lot of emotions during those long scenes. Yeah, they're not uncomfortable, like, the funny, back to, like, really, really uncomfortable.
It's like, it very much waves.
To violent.
Like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like,
that first dinner scene, I guess we're going to get
to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that, yeah. That's where it's insane scene. Like, but yeah, as I rewatched and, like, have watched more cats, and become more familiar with them, like, I love this movie.
I will say, this rewatch, and there's maybe even some specific shots that I can't tell if he actually took them, but he's definitely inspired by Fellini.
You think so?
Okay. Yeah, especially with some of these dinner scenes.
Okay.
I even think in this interview that I'm talking about, he said something about Fellini as, like, one of the dream sequences, like, Fellini, like when we were doing one of our Fellini scenes or something like
that.
Oh,
damn. Okay. No, there's we're going to get to next week.
I don't know what it was exactly, like, when he mentioned it.
Yeah, probably next week we'll talk about some stuff that he reminds me of Cassavetti, or Fellini.
Okay.
And he definitely does toy with the dream sequence. We'll talk about Love Streams. He kind of gets into that a bit. And opening night kind of has some hallucination stuff. But yeah, I guess we can go ahead and get into Husbands. So what's interesting is I'm gonna bring up the title. It starts with the kind of the photo sequence, but I think even before that has the title card, which has a very interesting subtitle: a comedy about life, death, and freedom. So, like, he in a way is kind of declaring it as a comedy. First of all,
yeah,
he's like he's very much like doesn't want to like conflate that with like he.
Do you agree with that?
I mean, it's I don't think it's like a pure comedy or anything.
It's a black comedy.
Yeah, it's a very dark
See,
comedy.
I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe that's why I'm kind of hesitant all the way, because it might be a little too attached to the characters to be a comedy. You know?
I can maybe see
like
that.
The director is too involved, like, literally with, that's why I was saying, like, how much is he, and that's why I'm saying, is it a comedy? Because, like, I don't know, like, if it's purely making fun of the characters enough to be a comedy for me, but.
I mean,
there's some like.
I mean, maybe it's. I don't know. I don't know if necessarily comedy has to be that though. Do you think that like it has to be like?
No, it doesn't have to.
Okay.
That's why I don't know if this is a comedy though.
Okay, it's interesting. It's interesting to talk about because like, it kind of, it definitely does start out as one, but then it kind of like definitely gets more and more like, I guess you kind of see the fallout from everything, and basically that kind of isn't really.
Like, you can
funny
definitely
anyway.
Tell, like, he's fighting with this whole, like, traditional Hollywood model of, like, these are the heroes they're supposed to do. Kind of
yeah.
Thing.
I mean,
that's what Blake was saying, like, you think they're doing, like, you're cheering for them as, like, you are normal heroes, and all of a sudden they do, like, something weird.
Like,
or,
yeah, like this the side of them isn't shown in, like the typical, like
But at the same time, there's also, like, you can tell he doesn't want to leave it all the way either.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. We also get this kind of photo montage of, like, basically them with their, like, friend, basically.
Yeah.
I love
they're
this.
All
like, yeah. Like, them at the pool party, like, flexing a bunch and everything. Like, but then, like, immediately juxtaposing it with the funeral is kind of insane. Like, kind of go from this, like, happy kind of vibes to just, like, which is honestly kind of, like, you could argue that's basically what their life has become. Or really, like, or just, like, what their life was, like, when they found out their, like, friend died, basically. And, like, I love this funeral scene, like, especially, like, how, like, kind of observant his camera is. Kind of like, especially like how good like he's like on close ups, especially like during like the premium procession when like the guy's speaking and like basically he's just like kind of just, like.
Dude, those shots remind me of Nashville.
Honestly,
when he's filming the crowd scene.
Okay. Honestly, yeah, I didn't even think.
When
about
like
that.
Certain people are walking through this, I don't remember who exactly, because I didn't like Nashville.
Nashville's great.
But filming the crowd scenes like that.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Crowd.
Then when certain people are walking through, I can't remember.
Yeah, that, but, honestly, but, good point. But I also love some of the dialogue here. Like, I suppose this is proper. All these big cars and chauffeurs, black shiny cars, seems dopey for a guy like that. You know. Well, I guess that's what they do. People get symbolic over death. They get very formal. It's really ridiculous because it's probably the most humiliating thing in the world. But I feel very relaxed. Like, people die of tensions. That's all they die of, Gus. Don't believe truth. Like, kind of just like them, like, reckoning with it, I feel like this kind of is, like, and it kind
of... At least trying to, through their words.
Yeah, I guess,
because the rest
point.
Of the movie you could say is, like, Blake would say, is, like,
yeah.
At least that's reckoning like, with it another way.
Yeah, and, like, basically, like, this kind of just setting up, like, what's about to happen. Like,
yeah.
And it kind of gives us a way to empathize with them, because, like, we kind of really understand why they're going, like, what brought them to these, like, selfish and, like, kind of, like, just like excursion they go on. But
is this where the you don't talk about insurance at a funeral occurs too?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's it's in the car right afterwards. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like yeah, like I didn't like it. I didn't like what he said. Just say he was a funny man. Just say he was a funny man. Yeah, like and then the ending line of that scene is I'm gonna get very drunk. Cut to them getting drunk. Yes. Oh, it's so good. Like
there's a little Ozu here, like a funeral honestly, and then some friends getting drunk. Damn. After.
I wonder what castaways would think of Ozu.
Honestly.
Probably would hate him.
No, I think really? I would like him.
Would he like him? No. You think? Okay. I don't know.
I think I'd like him.
Okay, maybe.
Because in that interview I've been mentioning, he does say something like how he wanted the... basically, the... Okay, yeah, he says... We didn't want to justify these guys' behaviors in terms of story. Which is basically saying he wants them to... If you do justify their behaviors to their actions.
Okay,
yeah. You know? Which is a very Ozu thing, right? Like...
Yeah.
Like, Ozu was trying to avoid story, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think he might like Ozu, but I don't know, that's a good question. Yeah, honestly, he probably saw him, like...
I'm honestly so curious, like...
Like, what were his favorite movies? I have no idea.
Like, Gertrude. He, like, loved Gertrude.
Oh, so, like, Dreyer.
Okay. He loved Capra. Which I've never seen any Capra. Like, it's so fascinating, because, like, Dreyer and Capra are, like, so different, but, like...
but they're, like, feeling movies.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, though, when you think about it, like, because he kind of is, like... He's like the formal abrasiveness of like of and like the ideals of or not.
I mean, Dreyer gets compared to Ozu sometimes.
Dreyer, and then like he kind of has that like empathetic like kind of nature like Capra does, like and kind of like I guess like the everyday man like kind of portraying that he took a lot from Capra, but it's interesting a lot, especially yeah, those two filmmakers. I'm
curious about that.
But yeah, this is like kind of the start of like. Of the journey they kind of go on, because they're like dancing and singing on the sidewalk, and then we get like the subway car scene where they're like kind of just fucking around, being like, well, like talking about how like John Cassavetes is talking about like oh, you know, I was gonna be a basketball player, I was too short, you know, like I would have been in the league, you know. Like,
see,
you know,
a lot of this reminds me. I think I told you this when I watched Husband's first time of California Split.
Honestly, yeah, there's definitely like,
just like the kind of like montage we get of those two when they're hanging out. Especially when they're drunk on the sidewalk. It's, like, almost very similar. Like, it's super similar to how dark it is, too.
Honestly. Honestly, and they go to a casino in this, too. The fallouts, like, are very similar, in my opinion. Like, kind of similar feelings. Like...
Do you know if Altman liked Cassavetes? I mean, I'm sure he did. I don't know.
Actually, I think I saw a quote Altman didn't really like him.
Oh! I maybe he's lying.
I don't know. I might have saw him one. Like, about, like, Altman's, like... I think it might have been that depressed Bergman tweet, honestly.
Okay, no, he's got some good ones.
It's good hater tweets, you know. But like, I feel like I saw that one time. But I need to go back and check, honestly.
Dude, one of my favorite... This is kind of off topic, but one of my favorite hater tweets he tweeted was Imamura saying Kurosawa is a great director because he figured out how to use a terrible actor in Miss Putin. Oh, my God. So you're that's like, hilarious. Oh, yeah, wait.
That's hilarious. Okay. Yes. There's a great quote too in this subway scene. You know, it's a terribly sad thing when a man reaches 27. Yeah, the years are going by, but then he realizes that he's never going to be a professional athlete anymore. And then you reach 30, and then you know it's over, and you begin to watch other athletes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then the other guy says like, "And at 35, your legs go." Yeah.
So funny. Oh man. But yeah, like...
I mean, they do play basketball.
I love the fast walk that before that. Guys being dudes, you know?
That one's really funny. Oh, my God.
It's so funny. That one was definitely...
A lot of these, like, kind of, like, put in public scenes, it definitely feels like that.
Because those people around them are just, like, staring back and, like, just looking at them, like, all crazy. It's so fucking
funny. Honestly, kind of very similar, like, Walker, like... Are there people that...
The people don't walk inside.
They're looking at
Lee Kong Shin.
That's hilarious. But yeah, they play basketball. And I had a note in my my notes. John Cassavetes' form is trash.
This is terrible basketball.
Maybe they would go for the 70s.
Yeah, I remember, like, oh, yeah, this is the late 60s. Yeah. Like,
I can see why he could have thought he could make the pros back then.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God, his form was
not
so bad.
Not today's league. No,
this is terrible
basketball. But honestly, this scene's great. Like, I mean, obviously, we all like basketball. I kind of don't really like it that much anymore, honestly.
Wait, which has a better basketball scene? Elliot Gould and California's Split or this one?
They're different.
Elliot Gould is the best one, I think.
He's definitely the best basketball player.
And like him winning money too is just
great. Just hustles some kids.
Yeah, that's hilarious. No, but I love how like Cassavetes and Falk are like in like athletic clothes, and then like Ben Gazzara appears. He's like in like his like suit still from the funeral.
I just love how he's like, I fucking hate basketball. Or he just says like, I hate basketball.
No, it's like cuts to them tired. He goes, I hate basketball.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god. They like go for a swim, I think, this is when they get to the dinner scene. The scene's like 25 minutes probably.
No, it's interesting how you're gonna explain this scene. Like,
jeez, yeah, honestly, it's
it is just like you have to watch it.
So it's very it's like much very, like
this is what I was saying. It's kind of like a La Dolce Vita Dreamus, like some of those party scenes in those where it's get to the scene? Like it starts off kind of normal,
but then
you're like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, is this real? Almost?
Like the cadence really just like really clear. Like that's what I love about La Dolce Vita is like. Even those that kind of thing that happens throughout the scene, like each party scene, like it gets more and more decadent. But also, if you look at La Dolce Vita in the whole, like there's like maybe five or six main party scenes. Each one gets more and more like depraved, basically, as it goes on.
You could say this has a similar structure. There's like three party scenes in this one.
Yeah, honestly, the last one's like kind of like the like them trying to recreate it like
in the hotel.
Yeah.
With the older lady or with the younger ones.
Was it with the?
Because there are
talking about the casino.
Oh, you're talking about the casino.
Well, because there's that one where they go back up to the hotel with those three the three girls, the one after that.
Yeah, I'm not the one after that was
ours. Oh, at the very end. Yeah. Who when Gazzara decides to stay, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess we'll get there, but either way, yeah, that's
structure. Yeah, but basically, they're very drunk in this scene, which is understandable. And they're basically getting all these people to like start singing, like kind of have a singing competition of some point, and like basically like getting them to all like sing different songs they know. I mean, there's some honestly stuff that's like that kind of gets stuck in my head from the scene because like I'm when it's Apple Blossom time in Normandy, I want to be in Normandy by that sweet old wishing well. Like,
no, sing it.
I don't want to sing it. Y'all don't want to hear me singing. No.
That was going to be the podcast.
Sing it! me trying to do covers of all these. Like,
sing! I'm pretty sure they yell sing multiple times.
More passion.
Yeah, like they want to be more passion. And then when she like starts to sing with passion, she's like, too much. And I
posted on Twitter, but the like John Cassavetes just going like after she like she immediately starts singing after he's going like with feeling, and then like she starts singing and John Cassavetes is like I can't stand it. He's like I can't kill myself.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Do you think he's trying to comment on just like maybe like what a director asked for from an actor?
Honestly, like, that's kind of what it felt like. Yeah, honestly, like, what it felt like, especially like, and they're kissing her like and stuff.
No, that's
like,
what they keep going back and forth.
Yeah, it's like insane. Like,
range of emotions you go through this is like, insane.
There's honestly like so much like.
Each person sings, and then they like pick on this one woman for some reason.
And then like they kind of get they get this other guy to sing. They're like, yeah, that's how you do it, you know, like. But like also Peter Falk is hilarious too. Like Peter Falk, especially when he's like taking off his shirt, he's like, oh, I agree. Like bangs on the table.
I'll do it.
He's like undressing and shit.
Yeah, he like takes off his shirt. He's like, if you don't do it, I'm gonna take off my clothes. Like, but
it's like here they come. Now do better. Now do it better or something like that.
Oh, they go so insane. But then like. It's so interesting because then he immediately cuts them like puking their guts out.
Yeah,
like they have their fun in the scene and like do that, but then like basically like it's the downfall, like the comeback basically. Like, and like honestly, this bathroom scene is like just as long. Honestly, like
no, I like it. I like
yeah,
it
like a lot. And it's very like it's very uncomfortable too, especially like the sound of them like puke like of like them trying to puke. I guess because they're like having trouble and like Ben Gazzara is like making them like feel bad, not being able to vomit like.
Him there.
Yeah, actually, I think one of the most interesting parts of the movie, rewatching, is they don't want Gazzara there.
Yeah, there's kind of a disconnect, I guess, yeah. I mean, it starts
with a disconnect, basically. Yeah.
No, they're in there alone. He comes in there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, not even the beginning of the movie. Yeah, I'm saying, talking behind him as he's walking with the older lady up ahead or something.
Yeah.
And
he's looking back at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying, because, I guess Shadows has a similar thing. I forgot to mention in the beginning where, like, there's this big thing that happened and it's not mentioned. But you can tell it's kind of controlling everything in some ways. And, like, in that one is, like, the kind of racism.
Yeah.
And this one is the death. Like, we kind of see that. We don't really see the death, but, like, you know, that's, like, what's driving the whole movie in some ways. Yeah. But I was starting to think, like, because this is a big, like, I kind of, like, a moment for me where it's, like, they, like, don't want to vomit around him. Like, yeah, Cassavetes trying to make a point about that. You know, he even says something, like, they say something to him, like, he says something later, like, Gazar, you don't know how to let go or something. I forget what he says, like, you're too tight or something like that. But, like, for some reason, they don't feel as comfortable around him. At least in certain situations. Because, like, if you notice, like, their houses are right next to each other. But I don't think Gazara lives next to them.
Yeah, honestly.
You know, like, stuff. And then, like, guess who's the one who decides to go to London at the end?
Like, I mean, I think it's, like, I mean, it's, I think it's, like, I'm not really, like, totally sure, but, like, I feel like it's kind of similar, like, a lot of, like, friendships today, like, a lot of, you see it a lot with, like, younger people, like, they'll be friends with people, but still, like, shit talking them all the time. Like, they'll be, like, friends, like, they'll, like, act like they're friends around each other, but they really don't like each other. Like,
that's not a common thing. But do you think that's going on here, though?
Maybe.
It seems
I don't know.
They really like him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very complex.
That's why I'm saying this fourth. That's why I maybe didn't finish my point. Is this fourth guy might have been, like, kind of his close friend? You know? Maybe it's like two, well, like, two or
friend groups kind of have, like, Like,
that's why I'm not saying for sure what that is. It's not, maybe it's just, like, it's all interpretation.
Yeah, or maybe they feel like an obligation to like him. I don't know. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He's the missing one. He feels like he's missing something even a little more or something.
Yeah,
because none of that is explained. That's why the real time nature makes it, like, honestly, where you can interpret all of this yourself.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
that's another Ozu thing. There's, like, no story outside of, like, what's going on right now.
Honestly,
like,
because the way he's acting makes it seem like that. Basically.
Yeah, honestly.
No, because it's a weird, like, because the first time I was like, oh, okay, they're just vomiting without him. But then this time it's, like, it's way more noticeable how they're avoiding him.
Honestly, in this one. I need to think about it more, honestly. I didn't even think about that, but...
No, I do love, like, I think Cassavetes, like, I think it was after they shoved him out of the bathroom the first time, and he's just sitting there, but he's basically just, like... he's talking with Peter Falk, and he's like, what are we supposed to be feeling?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's, like, this entire movie, basically. Yeah. It's like, what are we supposed to be feeling? Like,
yeah. There's an interesting line, like, that Ben Gazzara says to them, where it's like, because, like, Peter Falk's, like, wanting him, like, wanting to be alone, and, like, he wants, as he's saying, like, he wants, like, to be alone to vomit, or, like, kind of just be alone in the bathroom to for himself. And, like, Peter Falk's being good, like, literally making him feel bad about it. Like, saying, like, why do I get the feeling you want to be alone? Like, first there was four of us, now there are three of us, and you want to be alone.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah.
It does seem like partly, like, it might be because he's, like, so willing to blow up, too. Like, he seems, like, the most judgmental out of all of them.
Yeah, honestly, maybe. I will say the bandana he's wearing in the scene is, like, fucking hilarious.
It's like the red one. Yeah. It's, like, stands out.
Yeah.
It seems really dark, too.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's, like, his red look. There's, like, a really funny shot where he pops in with his, like, thing in his mouth, too.
Oh, yeah. He looks goofy as hell. Like. There's some great fashion choices in both these movies. Gina Rowland's sunglasses and Minnie Mouse.
Oh, she's got
are so iconic. But, yeah. But I think the next kind of big scene is when Harry has that argument with his wife, basically, and, like, kind of has that fight with her. Or well, they all kind of go back.
They all
kind of
go back outside a little bit, and, like, it's kind of like he's mad at his friend, so he's like, I'm going to call my wife. There's first little moment where he doesn't know his home, his house phone number, because he has to ask Peter Falk. Which is, like, that's kind of just, like, a first sign right there.
Yeah.
Like, but then he calls, and she doesn't answer, and he, like, fucking destroys the phone booth. That's when he's like starts apologizing to his friends. It's kind of, it's like a really sad scene, honestly.
I mean,
he's like, fuck you guys, and then his wife doesn't answer. Love you guys.
Well, because he walks outside, and he says, I know I'm a jerk, and I'm like, a big jerk,
and he's like apologizing.
It's hard, to like be around me or something like that.
And that's why it's like, and then they go back to his wife, and all this stuff happens.
Yeah, which you don't like, I guess.
I think John Cassavetes. Well, okay, sorry. I'm probably gonna say something different than you.
No, you
but,
go first. Go first.
But, like, I think this is, like, why they don't like him that much, basically.
Maybe.
Because, like, they're to me, it's like they think of him basically as they think of their wives almost. Like, he's making them do things they don't really want to do all the time. Because if you remember, like, he basically said we'll have enough time to shower or be clean shaven and shower for work or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, the whole thing is, like, we should go to work after this funeral or whatever. Oh, that's and funny. John Cassavetes is just, like, talking to Peter Falk going, like, if I want to be dirty, I'll be dirty. My wife knows this. Like,
he literally says, I'm not showering for him or her. You have to be free and individual.
Yes.
That's another, because I remember I mentioned last week with Faces, he said something similar.
Taking another
ultimate theme, though. Because you mentioned that quote where they're like, they're all about 40-year-old kids or something.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of, like, one of the themes they kind of show that, like, example of, like, a guy thinking that's, like, freedom, basically, if not what he's about.
Oh, man.
But what I was going to say is, like, okay, so, like, in that AFI interview, I'll just read the quote, but he mentions why they added this wife scene.
Okay.
The scene with Ben involved because we knew that people would say, gee, you never saw one wife. That just kept ringing in my mind. I didn't want people to approach me on the street and say, isn't it wonderful you never saw a wife in that? That's kind of a nightmare. We decided to show the one wife. To do that, we had to come up with some kind of relationship that would be meaningful for the other two guys. We wrote a very quick scene. We got the actress in and got a stage. It was all very stagey. I knew that it would pay off once he choked the mother-in-law. And I was like, okay, that's like a Nolan-ass reason.
That's hilarious.
But that's exactly what I was saying, though, you know? Like, it kind of feels like that, too.
I
even though there are some great shots in it. Like, there's a terrifying shot of, like, when he's, like, yelling at his wife when she's on her knees.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's very terrifying. Yeah.
Like I was saying, I really appreciate how, you can tell a lot of the stuff's affecting him by never showing it. Like, never showing the friend that just died.
Yeah.
Like, you honestly would have felt more effect. The wife would have felt a little more if you don't even have to, like, show it. Like, if she was just never there and we just see her hiding.
We talked about, like, what, with Psy, the presence of absence or something.
Yeah,
or whatever you
the
said.
The presence
whatever,
of absence, yeah. Because it's actually really cool when he goes there and he's just talking to his mother-in-law, his mother-in-law. And then, like, he leaves. And then she, like, obviously comes back, like, done hiding from him. And then, like, she's not expecting him to come back in. But that would have been good if, like, we just saw her, like, hiding from him. It is a good scene.
That's hilarious, though. Yeah.
That's so funny. That just kept ringing in my mind. I didn't want people to approach me on the street. Like, isn't it wonderful? You never saw a wife.
It's wonderful. But, I mean, I don't know. It definitely still works for me. I don't know. Like,
no, there's some good acting, you know.
It kind of is, like, another thing. Like, they're kind of shelving away. Like, especially with the fact they go to London right after this. Like, it's just another thing. They're just kind of, like...
But, see, I prefer the scene where Cassavetes is, like... Like, he's, like... Because in one sense, like... he's trying to show how they're, like, men you want to be, you know, they're kind of cool a lot of ways. But at the same time, he's, like, having to call his wife and ask for his passports because he doesn't know where it is. And then he's, like, Peter Fox doesn't even want to talk to his wife. So he's, like, can you talk to Peter Fox's wife and get his passport, too?
But, I mean, yeah,
like, that's, like, another kid's thing, too.
Yeah.
Like,
but, yeah, I mean, Peter Fox kind of is.
Yeah, exactly.
And we kind of learn a lot about them, too, like, from the scene where they pick up the woman we're going to talk about, like... Because Peter Falk is the one that kind of has really no courage.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, really cringy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, so it kind of fits that he doesn't want to talk to his wife, honestly.
That's true.
But, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Those kind of, like, where they're just, like, you don't even see the wife. Really. This one just feels like... I just hate to, in, like, most movies, where, like, they just try to add some drama to it by, like, hitting the wife. Or just any kind of domestic violence in general. It's, like, and that's obviously...
You don't like domestic violence, bro?
That's a hot day.
No, I'm joking.
Like, she has to pull out a knife, and then he's, like, hitting everyone and stuff.
Okay.
But you knew it all pay off whenever he choked the mother-in-law.
So. yeah.
So please. Okay, I honestly respect it more, honestly. You know?
Damn.
No, I'm joking. Anyway, yeah, but I think we get a team of Cassavetes. He's, like, apparently he's a dentist. But it's like, okay, he's like, so obviously never done this before, so it's like, the way he's like,
this feels like a California split scene, too.
Honestly, like, all of a sudden, he's
Elliot Gould would be in, like, his office or something.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny, he's, like, in the middle of, like, checking his teeth, and Peter Fox just talking to him about Ben Gazzara. He's like, he's changed, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. But, I think, isn't the next scene where they basically go to London, basically? Harry kind of, like, is the one who, kind of wants them to.
Basically, there's, like, something at work. He's, like, at work for a little bit, but then right after that...
Yeah.
They decide to go to London.
But basically, they go into this, like... They basically check into, like, this expensive hotel and stuff, and, like, basically go to the casino, and then basically try... They all three tried to hit on these women, which I mentioned in the Shadows episode, like the scene where like Ben and his friends are like going up to those three girls and they like try to pick up spit game to them and it just like doesn't work at all. It's like very similar to this scene, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, this scene kind of expands on that, I guess, quite a bit.
Well, Gazara, we kind of see like his charm.
I guess, yeah.
Because he actually does.
Yeah.
Like, his scene is pretty good, anyway.
But then, John kind of does. Like, he's hilarious. Like,
With his blonde.
Although he doesn't really finish well off warm, I guess. But, yeah, honestly, the main, like, memorable part of this scene, specifically, is the Peter Falk scene. Yeah. Like, basically, like, it's like, you know, I haven't done this in a long time, you know?
It's very cringy.
But, honestly, it's like, honestly, like, Peter Falk's just so good at it.
Oh, though, yeah.
Like, but that's just how good of an actor he is. And, like, I just love his voice, too. Like, how he says certain things, like, his cadence, I find very, like, very effective. But, yeah, basically, it doesn't really go well, especially because, like, there's, like, the scenes where when they're actually alone with them, that just, like, it's, like, so awkward, like, yeah. Especially when they're going in to, like, kiss them and everything, like, Peter Falk, like, goes in to kiss the Asian woman, it's, like, so weird, like, so, like, just, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it's, like, he's, like, Casaways is very much, like, I love, like, he's very much keeping his camera, like, with them, like, close to them at this moment, like, you're, like, you never get a chance to, like, step back, really, I feel like, with these scenes. But is there anything, like, you guys, like...
Well, I want to point out, because we kind of talked about it, too, the second lady Peter Falk talks to with, like, she kind of has, like, a lot of makeup on.
Yeah,
the old lady. Yeah, because apparently, like, I have to read, like, some of this. So, because the guy asked her, like, what kind of direction did you give her? Because you can tell she kind of looks nervous a little bit or something.
Yeah.
And he says, sometimes it's utter and total cruelty to elicit something pretty out of somebody. You have to be cruel to somebody sometimes, but it's only cruel in some kind of social bullshit way. I mean, we're all there to get something good. And then the interviewer says the sequence is brutal in a way, brutalizing of that woman. And he says, what I see in that scene is a brief moment of loneliness for a woman. I find it very beautiful. And then he kind of like goes on later to ask, like, how don't you see how like a lot of the artists was probably laughing at her in the scene?
Yeah.
And he says, how do you know that? Let's let people laugh at what they want to laugh at. Why shouldn't they laugh? You made a judgment already. And he goes on, you can't tell me how I feel. You can't tell that. You see that woman, maybe you don't like her being made fun of by the audience that's sitting there, but it's a healthy thing. It's healthy to laugh at somebody. Do you know why people don't laugh at people? Because they're too high and mighty to laugh. Awesome. And then the last line, it's a little later on, but he says, when friends get together, they laugh at each other. When enemies get together, no chance, baby. No laughter.
No chance, baby.
Damn.
Because he does hang on her face, too. Does, it's like, honestly. Really, it's like, I can't tell if he's trying to, this is another, like, Fleeny moment, where it's like, I can't tell if he's trying to be creepy or just, like, just like a normal woman.
John's nowhere near as horny as Fleeny.
That's true. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Or maybe not. It depends on which Fleeny movie we're talking about.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But definitely, they're not even the same league. Come on now. Which I'm not like Chris.
Like, Cassavetti's pretty horny though. Like he's just more based on reality. Like.
I guess, yeah. Which I mean, that's not this. What I'm saying is not this towards Fleeny at all.
Like I mean, think about what Face is about. Like two horny men. I mean,
I guess sexually repressed. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. I don't see it as horny. Like his like I guess his filmmaking in general. But sometimes Fleeny can get you know.
He gets crazy.
Yeah. that's one way to say it. But I mean, yeah. But like, basically, like the movie ends basically with them, like Gus and Archie returning to New York. Basically, I mean, it kind of is like what we're talking about. Like the kind of end of it is like kind of makes sense with what we're saying about like the disconnect between the two. Like Gus and Archie return to New York, but Harry stays behind. Basically, like they're like kind of concerned about him, what they'll do without him, but they still go though. Like,
well, Gus isn't really concerned. It's more
okay. Yeah, I guess Archie.
Which I guess that's Archie.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name, Peter
Falk.
Peter
Falk. Yeah, I literally my notes have them by the real name.
Yeah, that's honestly a good way.
Cassavetes, like, he doesn't really, it doesn't seem like he cares as much, but.
First of all, why do you think Gazara stays?
Honestly, from our discussion about, like, about him kind of being more connected to the friend that died, it honestly, maybe is for that reason, honestly, maybe.
Because you can kind of say this is also where the movie starts in a way. Like, those two friends losing a friend. You know, their friendship dies with Gazara, I guess. You know?
Maybe. Huh. Yeah, I don't see it. Damn. Honestly, it honestly is a film that's like, it doesn't really spell anything out for you, really. Like
it doesn't, because all three of them are in the same situation if they didn't go back. And it's like, Peter Falk is the one that wants to go back.
He's kind of breaking the cycle, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, like, well, like, in that last dinner scene, Peter Falk basically wants to go back immediately. George Cazar or whatever, his character obviously wants to stay, and then Cassavetes wants to leave, but then he's, like, almost getting convinced to stay by the pretty girls, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, because they all, like, basically, like, they end up, like, he ends up, like, saying, we all have, like, kids, we're all married, we all have homes with mortgages, like, back in the States. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. It's...
Okay, because we kind of skipped over it, but why does Peter Falk, like, when that girl starts kissing him with her tongue, he, like, freaks out? Because he says, I'm an American from New York, order a Coca-Cola and then give me a tongue. That's the part I don't get. That's the
part I don't get. I mean, yeah, that's...
Probably tradition. I don't understand, like, why he just freaks out over that.
You know, well, his character, it kind of makes sense with his character. Like, he is a bit, like... I don't know, more like...
Yeah, kinda, he's kind of like, I'm from New York and stuff.
He's kind of more of the goody-two-shoes, I guess, kind of guy in there. Like, more of the kind of, like, I guess... I don't know if I would say vanilla, but maybe, I guess... Maybe
I mean, he's the most scared.
Yeah, most, like, yeah, as you said, like, he kind of lacks the courage that the other two have. So that kind of does make sense, I guess, for his character.
I don't know if Peter Falk and John Cassavetes are jealous of George Costanza's character at the end. Because he had the courage that they basically did.
Ben Gazzara.
I don't know why I said George Costanza.
I was like, ooh, Ben Gazzara. What movie are you in right now?
I have no idea. No. Because, like, you could say, like, he has the courage to stay over there and start and basically just throw away his old life after what happened.
Yeah.
Whereas they're coming back to the same life that had them wanting to go over there in the first place anyway.
Yeah.
That's so true. I don't know. Okay. It's like, it's definitely an open-ended ending. I like it a lot.
This is maybe a little off topic, but you saying this about Peter Falk not having, like, courage, I guess, of all the characters. I posted this on Twitter, because I told you how, like, apparently they filmed a lot of this, like, not exactly improv, but, like, kind of just, like, Cassavetes put it how, like, they wanted to film a lot of it where they would just have a situation and they would film whatever happens, like, on the spot, you know, just kind of trusting the actors and stuff. And so the interviewer asked Peter Falk, would you do a film like Husbands again? And then he goes to say, we all have instincts about beginnings, middles, and ends. We know what a climax is and what a dramatic moment is. It's very hard to get rid of that thinking. It's very hard not to go with it, to be able to rely on something and trust on something that is smaller, subtler, and more genuine. It's also very hard to be tangled with the preconceived idea, to just start a scene and see what will happen, what will come out of it without imposing on it some idea you have. That is hard to do, and I didn't do it. I did it sometimes. I think as the film went on, I did it more. But in the beginning, I was hanging on to an old way. I can't understand John. I don't understand him. No, but so, I think you can kind of see that tension in a lot of the...
Honestly,
like,
yeah.
With the different... That's what I was saying with the different actors. Maybe you can see, like... Because I know... I haven't seen any of Peter Falk's, like, TV show. Was it Columbo or something?
Oh, Columbo, yeah.
Yeah, like...
I haven't seen
it. Obviously, that's, like, a very probably, like, script-heavy show. Yeah. And then he knows what he's doing and he's going in, like, that kind of comedy.
It's so interesting. Like, I've watched quite a lot of interviews with him recently about John. Like, he told a story basically, like, the first few weeks, like, he was not, like, ready for what he was about to cook. He's, like, he said he were in a car one day, like, driving to set or something or whatever. And he finally had enough. And he was like, I'm never working with John again. Like, and, like, then Ben Gazzara starts laughing, basically. He's like,
He literally mentions, like, how it was much harder to work with Peter Falk than Gazzara, who kind of understood maybe a little more what he was trying to do.
But then, like, basically, like, and then, like, basically, like, by the end of it, like, Peter Falk already committed, like, yeah, I'll do another movie with you. And that became A Woman Under the Influence, which we'll talk about next week.
Nice. I'm excited to see that.
But, yeah. I guess... Is there anything else you all have to say about
this? I love the gambling scenes.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm a good... any like, casino scenes, like, exactly. I'm on game for.
I wish there was a little more just, like, playing around with the friends. Because there's, that's why maybe it's, like, holding me back a little bit. Like, I like California Splits a little more, kind of just, like, it's less dramatic, I guess. This one has, like, a lot of serious moments in it, too.
To me, like, I don't know. Like, for me, like, I guess it's interesting, like... Cassavetes, like, dramatic moments to me, like, feel a lot more, like, sincere than, like,
no, that's true.
I agree. Like, they don't feel like generally dramatic, which I'm certainly not as, like, I don't certainly have much of a problem as a lot of, like, Hollywood dramaticism as, like, you do, I'm sure. I'm more fine with it than you, like, I have more of a tolerance, but, like, Cassavetes, even then, it doesn't even really feel that way for me, but, yeah, it's interesting. But, yeah, that's Husbands, love that movie, I guess we can go ahead and get into Minnie and Mouse, which I'm very interested to see y'all think about this movie. Because, like, I love this movie. It's definitely one that you're kind of not expecting, because I don't know if y'all like. It's kind of if we're talking about like Husbands being like one of his like least accessible movies, least accessible movies. Mean Masters might be his like most like kind of like easy to get into movies. I would say maybe. I mean, it still has like the Cassavetes like, of course, like style and like feel to it. But like, in a way, if you I don't know if y'all noticed this, but this is kind of like a screwball comedy, in a way, like the kind of sequence of events, like the. And I think the screwball comedy aspect, I mean, or basically Cassavetes take on it. I don't think it's like he's not literally just doing a Hollywood screwball comedy. He's very much taking from it, I feel like, though, with this film. But I think it really does fit kind of the romance in this movie, which, I mean, for me, like what I think, like kind of his main point with Mia Moskowitz, which I have a quote about him about the movie, which I'm about to read. But like, if I had to like boil this movie down, is like basically like love can be found in like between two different people, like. Love is, like, I think, like, if you think about, like, Hollywood movies, like, a lot of times, like, the love is between, like, the two, like, you know, like, hot-ass fucking people, like, you know, like, it always, like, kind of makes too much sense, but this one is, like, it's, like, love usually doesn't make that much sense, I guess. I would kind of, like, classify what this movie is really, like, trying to say. But there's also, I have a good quote from Cassavetes about this. He said, Minnie and Moskowitz was written for the screen. The first draft took approximately 2.5 weeks to put down on paper. It was written for some friends to perform. The basic story came out of certain remembrances of loneliness, the need for family and love, friendship, and understanding between certain people that you like and love. The screenplay calls all these problems lies, makes the past and the present now. It evades the insanity that life subjects us all to, places two people in a position to need each other, and in my mind, like life, gives them another chance. So, like, honestly, it is very much, like, I would say this is more one of his more optimistic films, like, specifically, like, the ending, like, because, like, yes, there are, like, turmoils in, like, I guess, like, the romance in this movie. But, like, to me, it's, like, it's not, like, it's more Cassavetes saying, like, love isn't just super straightforward. It's, like, there's, like, very much, like, different, like, hardships and, like, I guess, like, just challenges that comes with, like, love. And honestly, it is very much, like, it's another one of his, like, kind of, like, I guess, like, deconstructions of, like, Hollywood, like, romances, I would say. But anyway, I guess I'm interested to see what you all think about this movie. But yeah, I guess Blake.
No, yeah, so I didn't love it, honestly. Okay. But I still don't really know why. I don't know. Like, you saying it's a screwball comedy, definitely. I do agree with that. Because, yeah. Like, I mean, I guess all a screwball comedy really is just, like, it's satirizing traditional love stories most of the time. And that is definitely what this is doing. It's definitely satirizing traditional love stories. But I don't know. It's just, like, even then, it feels like these people shouldn't be together at the end of it to me.
Okay, but I mean, but I think don't that's know. The point.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
the point,
that, that's yeah. also the point. But I don't know.
And that's don't know, actually I just, how I, it's kind of interesting. That's how I feel about it. Like, I think I like it more as, especially how you're talking about it. As, okay. I think if we go through it, it's almost like you want it to be more logical, but it's not.
But love isn't logical.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like it's I think he captures that feeling well in my pan. But
I will say the one, maybe we'll go through it, like, for the most part, I think it kind of makes sense that way, but there's, like, one scene where, like, she's, like, embarrassed by him because he's, like, obviously low class, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it ever resolves that.
Okay. I mean, I
it does kind of just leave it, because, well, like, they basically literally decide to get married right,
yeah,
after
yeah,
that happens,
right
so.
After.
But, I mean, I, to me, like, Cassavetes, like, never really wants to, like, conclude everything.
Not resolve it, but, like, yeah. Okay. Like, it still makes sense. Like, I still like it. Well, I guess we'll talk. That's the one thing that sticks out. But I liked it for the most part. Seymour Cassell is great.
He is great. That's what he is. It's like you always hear stories about, like, your grandparents getting together, and that's basically what the story feels
like.
It's like, this guy's just a stalker. He's literally the same as the people she's already been with. And she still ends up.
I do like Moskowitz, though. Like,
he does kind of save her at the beginning too, which
he's
is, like, also a Hollywood thing.
He saves
he's
her,
a complicated,
but then he's the exact same person,
I mean,
as the guy
okay.
who saves her.
But I think, like,
he's a complicated guy.
He is a complicated guy.
No, but I think that's why you said he's kind of deconstructing the screwball comedy, like,
yeah.
Or just like a Hollywood movie in general. Is like, yeah, there would be a hero that saves the girl, but he immediately shows he's kind of like exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's also something that's, like, classic
exactly.
Hollywood movies do, too, also.
Yeah.
Like, depending on the movie, but...
But even, like, in, like, it kind of is, like, how it fits, like, perfectly, like, a screwball comedy would with this film is, like, screwball comedies, a lot of the romances are a bunch of, like, mismatching, like, people. Like people, like, trying to, like, figure out how to be together, but, like, you know, certain circumstances, like, certain differences between them, they kind of have to resolve that throughout a screwball comedy. And it's kind of very similar to this film. Like, they are very different people, and they're kind of, like, in this, like, negotiation, I would say. Like,
I guess this is the question we need to answer, because you're right. Like, a lot of screwballs, at least they'll say, like, oh, this, like, woman is so ugly compared to this, like, or this guy is so ugly. He's, like, six, it's, like, a fucking Cary Grant or something. Yeah. But, like, but this is the question you have to answer, then. Is Seymour Cassell ugly?
He's got a very distinct face.
He's a very...
Because yeah, no one's going to say that about, Gina, what's her name?
Gina Rollins.
Yeah.
Yeah. With his mustache, he's definitely not attractive.
And the long hair and stuff.
Whenever he cuts his mustache, I agree with Minnie. Whenever he cuts the mustache, I agree.
Honestly.
Looks a lot better.
He stands out, like,
yeah,
barely.
He's a very distinct look. Yeah, like, yeah, it's kind of...
And it works with a smile, though.
Honestly.
It does.
And his mustache does kind of go crazy after the movie.
Because that's really the answer. Like, okay, it doesn't make sense that way. Like,
But yeah,
is
guess
Minnie attractive? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, bro, what?
Sure. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Anyway, we can go ahead and get into it. Basically, this movie kind of introduced. I think it starts off with like introducing Seymour, which I don't think he's like. I don't think Cassavetes is saying like. I don't know if I agree with like. Oh, he's like just like. Just like an awful, like he's like the, just the same as like that.
No,
like,
he's not like, just the same. Because he acts very.
He's someone who lets his kind of emotions like carry him.
And he's a bum, as his mother would say.
Yes. Like he's a very hot-headed guy, but I think in general he has good intentions. I don't think he's like, you know, like trying to be like.
That's what all stalkers say. No, I'm just kidding.
But no, it's interesting because like even like. This movie even, like, has specifically certain scenes of them watching, like, Hollywood films in the theater.
They do.
Both Humphrey Bogart films, which
is... Well, yeah, because she's saying in all those, like... She's basically looking for a Humphrey Bogart, and all Hollywood movies are lies because there's no such thing as a Humphrey Bogart.
Honestly, yeah.
I thought that's because you said, like, a theme of the movie at the beginning. I was going to save it before when we got there. It's kind of one of those, like... moments I like, but I also hate, like, where it's, like, you let the actor cook way too much.
Oh, okay,
she's, like, going on, like...
Okay.
That's basically... Like, giving the whole, like, theme of the movie, and just, like, one scene. But it is kind of the theme of the movie, though.
Yeah.
Like, I guess we're almost there. I mean, we're kind of almost there, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's basically what she's saying is, you know, I think movies that are a conspiracy, I mean, they're actually a conspiracy, because they set you up. They set you up from the time you're a little kid. They set you up to believe in everything. They set you up to believe in ideals and strength and good guys and romance and, of course, love.
Yeah.
But then you could say this movie also does that.
I mean, maybe, like...
Do you think you come into this movie believing in love?
Believing in love? Like, what do you mean? Like,
because you said love is illogical, right? So you're saying this movie still makes sense. So that, in a way, you're kind of saying you believe in love.
Then. Okay, no, what do you mean? Like,
I'm saying it's a good thing,
okay,
but, like,
I
it's
said
like,
it was illogical that they had to go.
Yeah, that's what.
But I guess that's kind of the point she's making, though. Like, movies do the same thing, you know? Like, love is not really real like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, like, Cassavetes.
It's almost like Cassavetes trying to, like, he believes in that love, but he doesn't believe in, like, the Hollywood way of it.
I guess, yeah, maybe.
It still feels a little maybe that way to me.
Okay.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, he's seeing the Maltese Falcon, like, basically at the beginning scene. And basically, like, he has this talk with this guy, Morgan. in the coffee shop, and like they're like because he kind of like this coffee is so interesting because like this guy's like I don't like Bogart, like first of all I love this guy, this actor, because he's also in Killing of a Chinese Bookie,
I've seen him before too. I can't remember where, but
well, you've seen Killing of a Chinese Bookie, right?
Yeah, I have, but I remember him in something like that. I actually remember. I don't even remember anything. but basically.
I don't know, it's so interesting, this scene, because, like, they, like, I forgot exactly what they said, but, like, it kind of, this scene kind of helps, like, establish, like, who Seymour is, because Seymour, like, has, like, a range of emotions with this guy. Like, he gets mad at him, and, like, at one point, but then, like, kind of, like, immediately after, like, is trying to, like, pay for, like, his meal and stuff, like, trying to, like, give him money and stuff, like, kind of just showing, like, Seymour's, like, a very, like, complicated guy. He goes through, like, a lot of, like, emotions. He's not a one-sided person at all, like, But we also see Seymour, like, immediately after, like, going to a bar and trying to pick up a girl. And, he's, and like, the girl's Irish, and he's like trying to speak in an Irish accent to try and, like... He's like, can I buy you a drink? And he's like, started doing like an Irish... I can't do an Irish accent.
Honestly. This is where it's like, he's being kind of creepy, too. Like, he drinks someone else's drink. Oh, so, yeah.
Well, his pickup line is just, haven't I seen you before?
He keeps saying that.
Don't you remember me?
Oh, believe me, buddy. If I remember, if I saw you, I
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, exactly. He has two, he's too distinct to be doing that.
But hey, Seymour Cassell can pull it off. Also, I love his Seymour Cassell's voice.
Not easily. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You get rejected over and over.
All right. But, you know what I mean. But like, his voice too. I didn't mention that. His voice is so distinct.
It is.
It really like makes me love him more as an actor. But basically, like, and, like, I love, like, he's like spitting game or whatever, trying to at least, and like, and then you see this like circle of guys form around him, and you're like oh shit, and he even realizes like, oh shit, I'm fucked, yeah. And basically just gets thrown out. And
shit. Like, gets beaten up, yeah.
She gets beaten up. He gets beaten up a few times.
He does. Movie. He's a very bad fighter.
Yeah, but yeah. He gets himself in these situations, like, but like, yeah, I find him so interesting because he just really is like, he kind of is like every like he's like he's kind of like a whole range of a person, honestly, like. He's not one dimensional, basically. I keep saying that, but like, it's honestly like what I think about with him. And then we get this scene, like, he's on like a plane or whatever, and this like awkward ass scene where like this like woman right next to him is like yelling at her daughter to like stop eating, like to start eating and shit.
Okay, you did skip an important scene though, because it's kind of quick where he goes to see his mom to get money from her.
Apparently
that's his real mom.
Oh, Casimir,
of course, as he stole that, obviously.
For
Casimir's. But also, she comes back later. It was like an important character.
Okay, yeah. Wait, who did she come back?
After they decided to get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they both come to dinner scene. She's kind of revealing, like, honestly, the truth of like their real situation. You know, like what the movie's been hiding.
It's one of the best parts of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of important because like. She kind of knows who the real him is in a lot of ways. We're like,
honestly.
We just saw this guy be a loser for like the whole opening scenes. He goes to his mom's money house to get money, and that's when he decides to go to California.
Yeah, honestly. You know?
And then she'll come back too, which is so funny.
Honestly, I forgot about that. But I think we get introduced to Gina Rowlands at like this next part, basically watching guys. We kind of talked about it, like her talking to her friend, basically like explaining like kind of like basically her frustrations, I would say. And, like, it's interesting because Cassavetes plays her husband in this movie, which, you know...
Yes.
Plays her...
Or, I guess not... Mistress. Forgot about it. Yeah, Mistress. Mistress, my bad, bad.
Yeah,
which is fascinating because, you know, they're married in real life. basically, like, they're kind of... She's kind of, like, like a second fiddle to this wife. And the relationship's not... It's a very rocky one. It's a very, like, hot and cold one, which we kind of see with, like...
beating her
Another Cassavetes is, like, just hitting a woman to make it dramatic.
Okay. I mean, I don't necessarily think he's, like, trying to make it, like, dramatic. I don't think that's his goal, to make it dramatic.
I mean, that's why...
I think he's more just kind of showing, like, this kind of, like, relationship is, like, a very hot and cold one. Like, because immediately after, they go and, like, they basically, like, they, like, love on each other, basically, afterwards. Yeah, like,
true. I think it's showing, like, he is, like, Cassavetes' character in this is a lot like Seymour, in terms of emotions. He is a lot like him.
Okay.
Like, that's always why I think it's, yeah, that's just how people because it's, like, this is, like, the type of person she's basically drawn to, but because he's lower class, she doesn't want to be with him, essentially. But he's still got everything else that she's, like, usually drawn to, essentially.
Yeah. And it's also...
Because there's really a lot of uncomfortable scenes between Seymour and her later, too. So.
Oh, but it's... To me, it's like, they're trying to get the pieces to fit, you know, like, in those scenes, but then, like... And then kind of, like, at the end, do they get the fit? I guess it's up to you, really, to, like, kind of, like, decide. But, like,
I mean, it's amazing because it's in Faces, too, where, like, we get a scene where, like, we think the guy's with their wife, and then they go to their actual wife.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were married, too. Like, this was their husband or something. Then we see Cassavetes go home to his real wife.
His wife is, like, really mad at him, like, won't talk to him.
Well, apparently she tried to kill herself.
We discovered that in another scene. Yeah. But basically, not a good situation there. But basically, Minnie kind of gets set up on this date with this guy, Zelmo. Which, this guy is, he's a...
Zelmo.
He's a character. very much like this date scene is very awkward. He's like, it's like very, he's like ranting to her about everything. Yeah. He's like, you can bring this to my life, you know. Yeah. And she just
saying
this
there,
is
like, why I'm saying he's literally like Seymour though.
Okay, I don't know if it's specifically like what he's trying to say though. I don't know.
No,
I don't think it's that plain and simple. But like, yeah, like basically she tries to. She's like, I have no interest in you, because she gets set up on this blind date by her friend. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But basically, this is kind of like the initial meeting of her and Seymour, which like Seymour's working in the parking lot, basically like kind of saves Gina from this, like basically like gets her into his car and like basically like drives her to wherever she like her work basically. But what I love about like this scene specifically, like it's not like an immediate like attraction, like immediate like Hollywood moment where it's like. Which, I mean, I'm not saying this is bad, because, like, there's ways you can make this work, but, like, a lot of Hollywood films, like, it's, like, love at first sight, like, oh, you know, like...
It kind of is, though.
For Seymour.
No, for Seymour, but, like, Seymour for it's not, it's one-sided, I was saying. It's, like, more one-sided.
Okay, all right.
Which, I mean, like, Hollywood films kind of can do that, but, like, still, it's, like, obvious, like, it's, like, not really, like, it's very obvious, but, like, this is not, like, this is very much, like...
You can at least, like, see her decision-making throughout the movie, maybe. Or,
yeah,
like,
maybe.
Or trying to decide throughout...
And like, and at the same time, it doesn't really even make sense. That's what you're saying. Like, it's not like a thorough line of like, oh, I'm gonna fall in love with this guy. Like, it's very much like a, as I was saying, like mismatch kind of like fitting, trying to fit the pieces together.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very similar, like kind of how what love really is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But basically, Seymour's like trying to talk, like. Really trying to talk to her, and like she's kind of it's more of a one sided conversation, I would say. This kind of whole scene in the truck is when basically then he drops her off, basically. Which this is the scene where she's at her work, and basically John Cassavetes comes and like basically
honestly, crazy scene. Like, imagine her, for her at work, and like,
like
his son comes up, and
I brought my son here, to make sure to note that
he's
I'm
still trying to apologize
Facebook.
And
yeah.
stuff, and he's like talking about the good times they had.
Damn. And like immediately, it's kind of a screwball aspect of it. Like immediately after, like she had this whole shit with the blind date. It's like kind of insane. Like that's kind of what I'm saying with the screwballs. It's like
I do think
moment after moment.
You're saying like trying to put the pieces together thing. Like I think this is a big moment of that. It's like her losing Cassavetes, like permanently.
Yeah.
You know,
because
I have to make up with my wife and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another reason why she decides to choose Seymour or something.
Honestly, but even then, it's like not an immediate like. It's like
no,
she,
it's not
she,
immediate.
Yeah, it's like it's still very much a process, I would say, which I really like. But yeah, I think we mini slaps Cassavetes basically back. kind of like returning the favor from when he slapped her in the previous scene, but.
This is where you can tell Cassavetes, like, he's using his, like, Hollywood villain chops when in these scenes.
Like, yeah,
he's
honestly.
Got some, like, kind of, like, sliminess to him.
Yeah, honestly.
Like,
no, him and Humphrey Bogart look a lot alike.
So. I was definitely thinking about
really?
That.
Really?
Especially when, in the opening
because
scene.
Because,
yeah.
the
way
he's
framing him, too, like, he's, like, leaning against the side of the door
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah. Well, because there's a cut, I think, to the Maltese Falcon, and I was like, oh, is that Cassavetes?
I'm kidding, I literally thought that.
Damn, yeah. Honestly, I've never really even thought that.
But like,
it makes this point
that she always has in the movie of like, you're not the face in the mirror or something. I think she literally says that to Seymour later.
Yeah.
And she's also saying stuff about like how there's no such thing as like a Humphrey Bogart. Whenever like she basically lost her Humphrey Bogart in this movie.
Yeah.
That's how you can see like Cassavetes.
Yeah.
But because like that's
what she thought was.
Or
like,
that's
yeah,
the person
yeah.
I at least think she's talking about whenever
yeah,
she's
yeah.
saying like I already love someone.
Yeah. But even then, like it's still very much a thing where it's like she thinks it's a Humphrey Bogart kind of like romance, but really like isn't. Like it's like he's like she's obviously like the his mistress or whatever. But honestly, I kind of see it now. Like when I'm thinking about like their faces are like very like rigid and like have like a lot of like. Their faces are so like
their face structure is very
very interesting. Like they have like a bunch of like interesting like
gray
crevices.
Hair
like
for
both
of them.
For sure. I mean, Humphrey Bogart's like one of my favorite like Hollywood actors for sure. I love Humphrey Bogart. I agree with Seymour. You know, I'm a big Humphrey Bogart guy.
The Tom Cruise of his generation.
The Tom Cruise.
Because of how short he was, like, hiding in how short he was.
I it's an interesting connection. I don't know if I.
That's always what I think about with Humphrey Bogart.
Really?
Like 5'6".
Okay. I guess no. I mean, there's just we talk about Big Sleep. We did Big Sleep. I mean, like there's a line at the beginning where it's like, she's like, you're not as tall as I thought you were, and, as I thought you would be, and he's like, well, I tried to, or fuck, I said, damn. Humphrey Bogart's so much cooler saying that to me. Like, wouldn't y'all believe that? Like, nah.
Okay, but us saying this, I forgot to say this for Husbands, but. Cassavetes said, basically why they used a low camera angle was, I liked it low because we were dealing with three short guys. we had the camera low so we wouldn't look like total so we wouldn't look like total dwarves.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
That's so good.
Damn. But yeah.
Also another Ozu thing, low camera though.
Okay. That's interesting. That's so funny.
Cassidy's reason is also good though. Because do you remember why? I remember kind of, at least his reasoning. Why he chose low camera?
I don't think I remember.
He said like one day he was like sitting on a rock or something, and he was like he saw like a beer bottle on a rock in front of him.
Oh my god!
He's like, oh, this is the perfect position for the camera.
Only Ozu would be like, one day I'm sitting on a rock, you know? okay.
No, they said he saw a beer bottle on another rock. Like this is the perfect angle or something.
Honestly, damn, that's like the birth of the floating weed opening shot.
No, exactly.
Shot,
that's why, yeah.
That's like one of my favorite Ozu shots. So, yeah. But anyway, but basically, I think the next like scenes basically is like basically Seymour going back to Minnie's house, basically mad at her for cost, like basically like. I think he got fired for like beating the guy.
He got fired. Got punched in the nose.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I
paid for dinner.
I think that's actually later because he takes her out.
They go out.
Basically, still he's like mad at her, but still is like, okay, I'm in love with you though.
Yeah, yeah.
Which honestly makes a lot of sense to me.
That he's trying to show up like dual emotions.
Yeah, love is a very like hot and cold thing, and especially with Seymour, who's very much like a person who goes to each extreme. I feel like it's like a big part of his character. It makes a lot of sense, and I can't remember if it's this scene or it might be another scene, but I have to mention it. Maybe the most romantic line of all time in this movie. I think about you so much, I forget to go to the bathroom. Honestly,
that's pretty romantic.
amazing line. I had to bring it. We had to say it. But yeah, there's some great dialogue here. Like, you don't have to learn their language, you have to learn their emotions. Like, but like it still is kind of more one-sided, I would say.
Oh, it definitely is. She puts her sunglasses on during the dinner scene, and he's basically like saying like, you even wear your sunglasses.
Yeah.
And stuff like
basically
that.
Like getting mad at her for like still not basically not returning his affections, I would say.
The sunglasses are obviously way off.
Very much. But I mean, like, and we see like basically Seymour like kind of his rebellion of this, like brings up a girl or whatever for the night or whatever.
One moment during their date that I forgot to mention is because I think he's just trying to show little moments of their personalities, kind of.
Honestly,
because Blake said something how like it might be true, like how she's maybe attracted to this type of guy. Because, like, there's, like, one good moment where they're, like, ordering ice cream, and he's, like, keeps telling her, like, basically his exact order. If they get it wrong, he's gonna, like, he's gonna be mad and everything. And then when she orders, she's, like, just lets her choose whatever she wants to pick.
Yeah.
It's, like, almost, like, how they're exact opposites.
Honestly,
like, little details like that.
Honestly, yeah, and that's, like, this thing, like, I think he's definitely gonna return to in Love... definitely did return to in Love Strains, like... Basically, like the pairing of someone who like loves too much and person who like preserves too much love, and kind of what that brings. Even though Love Strains, it's more like a brother and sister relationship rather than, but it's like it's a brother sister relationship, but it's like Cassavetes and Roland's playing the brother and sister, so it's like,
oh, that's
is
weird.
It is it a bro-
okay.
It's not weird. Okay, it's not. It's very profound. We'll talk about
all
it.
Right,
we'll get to it. I love Love Strains. It's one of his best movies, but. Let me think. Like, I think.
But yeah, we're at the hooker.
He brings basically like a hooker back.
Yeah, like right after the romantic day. Kind of like.
Yeah, you know, Seymour, he's a romantic guy. You know. but yeah, basically, kind of as a reaction to this, like, obviously he's someone who wants love a lot. I think he's someone he wants to love, but like.
He was very lonely.
Yeah, very lonely guy. He's kind of desperate for it, which it makes sense with his character. It's not like a. I don't see it as a weird thing. It's just like a normal thing, like people go through.
Yeah.
But I think is the next scene when they go to the ice to. Is the next scene when they go to the Western bar or whatever, or is it the?
No, they go to the ice cream parlor.
Or ice cream. Okay, ice cream parlor, and then it's basically this connection scenes of them on their date, basically.
Yeah.
They're
just getting to know each other because it is crazy because it's only like we find out it's only been 4 days like later on.
It feels like so long.
Honestly, that's a very screwball thing about it. It's like very much like a short period of time. Yeah, I mean, is there anything else, like, I mean, I guess in these scenes, like, I guess this is kind of like the first moment, like, where they, like,
they
show affection to each other. And, like having their, like, dance in the parking lot and, like, there's a great scene where, like, what, Seymour gets, like, really happy about it, and he goes to do a handstand. And, yeah. Like,
well, this is, well, like, right, yeah.
There's, like, a good conversation right before that where he's, like, basically saying how he's in love with her, and he says, to me, you're always gonna be new. And then she says to him, that's not the face I dreamed of, not the face I'm in love with.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Basically, like, trying to reject it, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, like, right after, before they go and dance, like, the Hollywood moment of them dancing outside the car.
Yeah, which, honestly, is a beautiful moment.
No, it is a great moment. It's very beautiful. Because they never actually go inside.
Yeah,
at least
we
don't see them go inside.
Yeah.
She's too embarrassed to...
Oh, yeah,
from the door. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, this is where it's, like, it feels like a little... He's trying to add a little drama through, like, maybe unnecessary, because he adds this, like, we see this guy who, like, she knows from the museum or something, and she's embarrassed to meet, talk to.
Yeah, it's like he's like a wealthy guy.
Yeah,
she apologizes for his suits.
Yeah, exactly.
Her first jacket,
and like wanted to say his name and everything. And then not only that, we have to watch Seymour get his ass beat, like, at her apartment too.
I guess I could see why
by the same guy.
I mean, but it's, I don't know. It's to me, it's like another thing of like the mismatching thing, though. It's like
kind of maybe it's just like a little bit too much, like making him a loser.
Okay, maybe. But even then, I still think Cassavetes still likes Seymour. I think...
But why, though? Why does Gina Rowland still like this guy?
He's saying...
Why do you think so? Because I guess a lot of it is he's, like, showing... Especially towards the later half of the movie, we're getting, like, okay, like, he just gets his ass beat all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing more of his loser aspects.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the movie even starts like that.
Yeah.
But, like, why do you think she chooses him then? I guess that's kind of the question.
I don't know if that's necessarily ever stated. I mean, I kind of see, like, Seymour's, like, he's, like...
But it could be easier, just, like, she likes his smile, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's never really spelled out, I don't think. And I think that he intentionally does that. Like, because I don't think... I mean, I don't think love is, like... I mean, as we said, it's, like, it's not, like, a thing where, like...
It just gets kind of cringy in the scene where he's getting beat up and he's like, he keeps getting up. Like, it is kind of screwball where he keeps getting up, but he's like, he says something like, that's what happens when you love, baby, or something.
Okay, I love that.
I love whenever he punches her. It's so fucking funny. Just because, like, the other guy just ducks under. He just, like, blows.
See, that's definitely a screwball
thing. Oh, yeah, definitely. This is like, yeah, like, a lot of, like, screwball comedies are, like, basically, like, two people that are sick of each other, like, or, like, yeah, basically, like,
To me, it just feels like it's played a little more dramatic, though. That's why, like, that's why I feel.
I guess maybe that's like the Cassavetes kind of like style melding with it. That might be why. Yeah.
Well, it's like whenever he cuts his mustache, that is whenever her perception of him kind of changes almost.
Well, because he cuts his mustache for her. I think.
Yeah. No, he does cut it for her because he's about to cut his hair off too. Which, I mean, that's another thing of like rebirth or whatever. Like you're born again if you cut your hair and stuff.
That kind of reminded me of the one that quote I mentioned earlier, where she's like, "That's not the face I fell in love with."
Yeah.
So then he's like cutting all of his hair.
I think.
There's still like there's like they go swimming.
Yeah.
Probably the song, because it's, like, the only song I find on YouTube where, like, they're singing I Love You Truly.
Yeah.
Like, we're just getting a little bunch of moments. Like,
A lot of this movie is very... Which, I guess, screwball is kind of, like, a screwball genre.
Once again, at the end when they reveal it's only been 4 days, it makes more sense. Like, okay, they're showing literally...
No, the dinner with their parents after they decide to get married is one of my favorite parts of the movie.
It's a great scene. That's basically where we are, because, like...
Basically, Seymour's mother's, like, roasting the shit out of
him. Roasting.
I like the phone call, too, because, like, she calls her mom first.
Yeah.
And you can tell she's, like, the mom is more agreeable and stuff, the way she's...
Or just, like, kind of more, like, overwhelmed, I would say, like, by, like, basically this sudden romance.
But, it's weird, because, like, we see Seymour Cassell start his phone call, but we never see her see him actually talk to her.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why, until actually we get, like, her reaction. Yeah. You know? Because, like, they don't want to ruin this kind of moment.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, Cassavetes' mother is, like, kind of insane.
It's like, roasting them. Like,
I just love how she calls it. She's literally like, this man is a bum.
Yeah, like, I think the other mom says something like, it's so wonderful. And then she's like, what's so wonderful about it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's just like this man, he's like, what, he works as a car or as a car driver or whatever,
car pusher.
You have a very beautiful young daughter.
Honestly, this kind of is a moment where
you want to marry this bum.
It kind of like makes you reflect on it too. You're like, wait, hold on, how did we get here?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
But even then, like, I still really like that.
Exactly.
Albert Einstein is not.
But she's being honest. Like, she even asked, like, what are you guys gonna eat? Like, sleep in, stuff like that.
And then the other mom's like, what are what are your plans? Yeah, so what are your plans, Seymour? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about working for a bigger company.
No,
oh like, my god.
And then he's like, okay. Then he literally says, I'm thinking about going to like a regular parking lot. Those are his big plans instead of like a restaurant.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, restaurants can go under and everything. You lose your job. A big company with a bigger parking lot.
Oh my god. And they're like, oh.
So funny. Well, isn't Gina Rola? Isn't she always behind her sunglasses in the scene too?
I think she probably is. That's actually a good point. Like to notice when she's wearing sunglasses or not.
Yeah, but
she does take them off. Like it feels like
she does take them off. She takes them off and puts them on at certain moments.
Yeah, exactly. I have to pay attention more to that.
It makes it interesting. Whenever I rewatch, it'll make it interesting.
But those sunglasses are fire.
Oh, they are. She rocks them.
But yeah, basically we get
the eating. Because in my notes, she says one of the insults she says is he eats sideways.
Oh my god!
Like, she like roasts the fuck out of him. Like only the way a mom can roast you.
And his reaction is so good. He's like, mom.
Damn.
Honestly, I need to steal some of her insults.
She gets a lot in there.
That's lame. But yeah, we get basically then after that.
Goes to the whole like logical thing where like we just get this whole scene of just the mom being like, "You guys, this is all the logical reason why you should get married." And then it cuts to them.
Immediately cut to them.
The mom's married. walking into marriage. You know, like you can't stop this kind of thing.
This movie is very screwball too, because the minister like forgets his lines and shit. Trying to fumble for the notes and everything. It's so funny. But yeah, it's very much like how a marriage in a screwball comedy would work. It very much is like that, in my opinion. But then we get this kind of like flash forward at the ending is like basically this kind of like flash forward to like this like really colorful like, I guess like I don't know, like
it's
party
like video footage or something.
Like a birthday party or something like kind of implying they had
a
child
happy
basically.
Ending, I guess.
But
multiple children.
Yeah. But I mean, it's. To me, I feel like this ending is optimistic, in my opinion. I don't know how y'all feel about that, but
how could it not be? They have kids and stuff. Because the whole movie is how we're saying is like this shouldn't work out. So putting this last
if we're looking at like the cool love thing, like with the cast,
it's like an epilogue almost.
Yeah, honestly, and like this whole film, I think is like very much like kind of like another like kind of like Cassavetes like exploring a different like kind of aspect of love, and I think this is like the. I guess love can come between like any two people or just
I
like
think so,
yeah,
yeah
love
like,
is like illogical basically
like or he's like saying it doesn't have to make sense to make sense
yeah
you know like,
and it does feel like she's accepted like him being like lower class in Eric
and just his quirks
like,
in general he's like his personality
well because
general,
like the house they're at it's definitely not a great house like they're basically out in the country is what it looks like
but they're still like kind of having this like colorful ass like they're very much like accepting it for sure honestly but I guess that's Minnie and Mouskowitz. very interesting movie in Cassavetes' filmography.
I think I'll like it more on a rewatch, but
it
didn't connect with
it's people. It's definitely one of his more. I think it's definitely one of his funniest ones for sure. I would say
it's definitely funny. Yeah.
Next week though, we got two absolute bangers. Woman Under the Influence. Kind of his most acclaimed, I would say. Like, basically, like I feel like when you hear Cassavetes, you hear Woman Under the Influence like immediately. Basically,
yeah.
It's like the
funny because these were two, at least on Letterboxd, these are two of his least popular ones.
Yeah, Husbands and they are two of his lesser known. Woman Under the Influence is definitely like I think he was nominated for some Oscars for. I think he was also nominated for Oscars in Faces, in which he didn't actually attend the ceremony.
Damn.
Love that from him.
Legend.
But yeah, and then. The second film we're doing next week is The Killing of a Chinese Bookie, which is one of my favorite films of all time. Top 10 for sure.
Damn.
Absolutely love the movie. I think I watched it like 3 or 4 times last year. I've already seen it like once before that, so it's like I've seen it basically like 4 or 5 times.
No, I remember
you
saying that.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. We'll talk about it. I absolutely love
it. I watched that a long time ago, but I don't remember it.
Okay. So. Like really nothing? You remember nothing?
Really? Not really.
Okay. Which interesting because like One of the Influence and Killing of a Chinese Bookie have Peter Falk and Ben Gazzara kind of starring in both of them, so we kind of get like a you know, like, husbands, like, but they're coming back, basically.
Okay, good. Good.
They'll be back.
Good. They'll be good to see.
Two very interesting movies, too. A lot to talk about with that episode, but yeah, hope to see you guys next week. Hope to see you floating through the clouds.
In your early morning dream, life's but your pleasure stream, so go on. Sing me your song. Yes, and play it again for me as a friend.